I want to read today from the book of Luke, the third chapter, beginning with the first verse. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea, and Tachonitis and Lysanias tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. The word of God for the people of God. Do you remember years ago in your life, maybe, some of you not so many years ago, some of you just recently, seeing the Christmas tree at your home, maybe the home where you grew up? And as the days approaching Christmas pass, what happens underneath the Christmas tree? There is a multiplication of what? Packages like this little one right here underneath the tree. And do you remember as a child looking at those packages under that tree? What went through your mind when you looked at those packages under that tree? What's in them? Come on, anybody else? Did any of you guys ever pick up one of the packages when your mom and dad wasn't looking and try to discern what was in the package? What else do we do? Tanya, did you say unwrap it? Anybody here ever sneak and unwrap one and get a peek and then wrap it back up? We've all wondered what it is that's under the tree, right? Well, that's the title of my sermon today, What's Under the Tree? And I think it's appropriate that we consider the fact that not only do we wonder about maybe what's under the Christmas tree, the presents that we're getting, not only do our kids wonder maybe about what's in those packages, but perhaps some of us wonder about what it is that comes along with the Christ child who was given to us on Christmas, whose birth we celebrate. What comes along with Christ? He's the Christmas gift to the world, right? From God the Father. He is a package that's been given to the whole world. What is it that's in Christ? Have you ever heard that we who are Christians are in Christ? What do we receive in Christ? The gospel message that came with Jesus, that John the Baptist preached, see, prepared the way for the coming of Christ. What's in that message? What's in that package? Come on. John, I think, gives us a little glimpse. Or excuse me, not just John, but Luke, who writes about John. John came preaching, and it says that it was during a special time. Or does it say it was during a special time? Was it? Was it special? I think it's interesting that Luke begins by telling us the names of all of these different leaders who were in power at that time. And a lot of people say, well, he's just giving background, you know. But I think there's more to it than that. It's kind of like what he begins with would be like in today's world. He would be writing, if Jesus was born now, he would be writing, he would say, it was in the reign of Donald Trump. Vladimir Putin. Marcon. Michelle Lujan Griffin. And the Word of God came to which one of those great leaders do you think it would come to today? Interesting question. Didn't come to any of the leaders that he mentions here. Didn't come to Philip. Didn't come to Herod. Didn't come to any of them. Who did it come to? Come on. Came to John the Baptist, son of a priest in the desert. Luke introduces all the leaders, powerful rulers, along with John, and says the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the desert. What's under the tree? God has a message for ordinary folks in unimpressive places like the desert. And when I read this, I thought, well, maybe what is in the gospel for us, maybe what's in Luke's story for us, is to know that the word of God comes not to those who are steeped in worldly power, but rather the word of God comes to those who listen for it, instead of those who are chasing after their own visions. Come on. And it says that John received the word from God. He received the message from God. And he begins to preach it in the desert and all that area around the Jordan River. And this is what he preaches: a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. A baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Is that a gift? Have a question for you. Do you have to be baptized? Have you ever heard that question asked? Do you have to be baptized? My mother told me, no, you get to be. Come on. Does that make any sense to you? Is there a difference between having to do something and getting to do something? John preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. What's under the tree? What comes with Christ? What came in that manger? Baptism, repentance, forgiveness of sins. I love baptism because baptism was introduced here by John, but it was something that the Jews had done for generations, for ages. They baptized everything. They did lots of washing. And John, as he preached, he called the people to be baptized. And it was a way that through John's preaching, he gave them to experience something that God was doing. And Jesus has continued that thing of baptism. And I think it's important for us to understand that baptism, it's not a demand, but baptism rather is, just like everything else under the tree, it's a what? It's a gift. This table is a gift. Do you believe that? Oh, what a wonderful gift to eat that bread and drink that cup. And to be able, in a physical way, to experience spiritual truth about the life of Christ coming into our bodies. And baptism, a gift that as we respond to it, as we receive it, as we're lowered into the water and raised up, or as the water is poured over us, we are reminded that we are washed, we are forgiven. What was is past, and we now have a new beginning. Talks about repentance, and what a wonderful gift repentance is. Repentance isn't just a change of life. Oh, that's an interesting thing to say, just a change of life. It's not a change of life. It's a change of our mind. It's a change of our thinking. It's a decision that we make. It's a choice to begin moving in a different direction. That's what repentance is. And so God says, come and be baptized to show that you've made up your mind that you're going to live for me now. Come and be baptized and show that you understand that I accept you just like you are, and that I forgive you of every wrong thing that you've ever done or ever will do. Is that good news? See, forgiveness doesn't just go back, it goes where else? forward. He said, you accept baptism, and it's a way to experience that. And it's also a way of saying, I know you love me just like I am, and I know you forgive me, but I also know that you love me so much, but you're not willing to leave me just like I am. And you're going to begin to work in me and change who I am to look like Jesus. What's underneath that tree? Wonderful gift. Many wonderful gifts. Baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Salvation. And salvation is not just forgiveness of sins, like I said. In hymn number 214, have you got a hymn book in front of you? Now relax, I'm not going to sing. But if you would, open up the hymnal and turn to hymn number 214. And the song is, who's found it? Rock of Ages. Cleft for who? Me. Let's take just a minute. Let's look at it. I got to open it. I don't want to just tell you about it. I want to read it with you. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me, what? Hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin. Now look at this. The what? The double cure. Save from wrath and make me what? Pure. Now that's an old song. It was written in 1776. What is that double cure? It sounds like a double dose, doesn't it? What is the double cure? Well, it's just what we're reading about here. It's salvation. It's about what John writes about in what Luke writes about that as far as John preaching, about the Lord leveling the ground, about him making the crooked straight. It's about forgiveness, like I said, of all of our past sins or all of our future sins, but it's also about something else. It's about helping us to be who he created us to be, helping us to be who he designed us to be from the very beginning. It's taking us back to where God started with us at. Before there was breaking of faith, before there was rebellion, before there was sin, and helping us to be who he dreamed we would be from the beginning. How many of you would like to find that? To find God's dream for your life, for our world. That's what Christmas is about. That's what salvation is. It's about forgiveness. I'm glad I'm forgiven, but it's also about something else. What's that something else? Salvation, which is not only forgiveness, but it's also what? New life. Romans chapter 6, again, the picture that baptism represents to us. You go down in the water like Jesus did, like the people that John preached to did. You go down in the water, Romans 6 says, and it represents that the old person, the person who was self-centered, self-willed, the person who didn't live for God or know God, that person, as far as God's concerned, come on, is under the water like they're buried in the grave. Your eyes are closed. You cease to breathe. You are to consider yourself as what? Dead. The old person. The person that sinned has died just like Christ did. His death now becomes whose death? My death. But aren't you glad that God doesn't just leave us there dead? You know, I baptized a lot of people in my time, but I never left any, but never held anybody under until they were gone. I've never lost one yet. I always let them back up. And when you come back up, what does that represent? What does that symbolize? Rebirth. You rise up to walk in the same old stuff you used to always live in. No. Rise up to walk in what? Newness of life. A life that is enabled by the Spirit of God. It's not just me anymore. It's now God and me, both of us together. And now he's enabling me to be a just person, a good person, a merciful person, a gracious person. You say, but what if I fall? What if I fail? What if I don't do right? Remember the blood of Jesus that we understand is ours as a gift with Christ? It doesn't just forgive of what I did in the past before I put faith in Christ. It washes me clean of every sin that I'll ever commit in the future. Is that good news? Sure. Somebody says, well, that lets people off real easy. No, it makes us want to serve and love and live for God even more. Now, the last thing that he preached was an open invitation. It's for everybody. You don't have to become something. You don't have to wait till you get good enough. But the old hymn that we have sung for so many years says that we're to come to him just as we what? Just as we are. Without one plea, but that thy blood was what? Shed for me. Now, I want to go back to 2:14. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation in just a second. But let's go back in your hymnals to hymn number 214, and let's look at that one again. And I want to read you verse 3. Would you read it with me if you've got your songbook? What do I bring in my hand? Nothing. Simply to the cross I cling. Now look at this. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Repentance doesn't mean getting your life right before you can accept the invitation. I hear people say sometimes, you know, I'm going to come to church some of these days, preacher, just as soon as I get my life straightened out. How many of you have ever heard that? That's like saying, I'm going to go to the hospital just as quick as I get to feeling better. The invitation is for all. The only thing that's required is that you say, I want to be like Jesus. I'm going to put my faith in him. I'm going to follow him. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I pray that we may go forth from here rejoicing over all of the wonderful gifts that God has placed under our tree. May we go forth as messengers and heralds of the good news. In Jesus' name, amen.